We're going to talk about something more than good. And I pray for the grace to communicate what God has put on my heart. But Genesis 3 and verse 6 was the fall of Eve when she yielded to what the serpent was encouraging her and took and ate from the tree in the middle of the garden and brought death into the world. And what is so amazing is that I think in our scale of understanding God and understanding life, we would like to think that that tree that Eve ate from was dark and ugly and nasty, and she just got on the wrong side of God one day and made a terrible choice. And Genesis 3:6 is really almost a crazy verse, because look what it says. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. You know, one of the greatest battles we face, and I think it's all of us, is that we let good become the standard of whether we do something or don't do something. In other words, that is a good thing. And rather than God's law and what God has called us to being the thing that guides our every step and our every action, we move it over like Eve, and she looked with her eyes. And look at that verse again. The fruit of the tree was good for food. That doesn't make it right. It was good for the food. And so often we think, listen, this is a good thing for my life. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man or a woman. You're not left out, ladies. But it ends in the way of death. There is a way that seems right. And we are facing a crisis where if something seems right and it seems like it will make me feel better, then it's okay for my life. And the fact that God has said no, we set aside because it seems good. And all of a sudden, what becomes the dictator of our actions and everything we do is how we feel and how things seem rather than the Word of God. One of the verses that is so scary in the Bible is Jeremiah 17:9. And Jeremiah says this, the heart is deceptively wicked. Who can know it? And sometimes we like to think we've got it figured out. In other words, if this was so bad for me, do you think I would do it, Pastor? If this was so wrong, you know I would never do that. Eve looked at a tree, and God had spoken, and God had said, you're not to eat of this tree. God's given you and I some commands, and some of them make perfect sense. And other ones we haven't quite figured out yet. And Eve looked at a tree, and she saw that it was good for food. Who could ever deny something that was good for food? She looked and saw something that was pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, and she took some and ate it. Will we be governed in our lives by God's word? Or will we be governed by how we feel and how things seem to us? Proverbs talks about the way that seems right. Sometimes things seem good. It seems like this is what's best for me, even though it's not what God has spoken. John Bevere has written a book, and I have not read it yet. I read the introduction and the back cover, so I'm not sure what that qualifies me for. But the book is called Good or God. good or God. One of the battles we face in Christianity and seeing people brought to salvation, and I can remember it as a new Christian, people saying, I'm a good person, I'll be okay with God. Jesus taught the opposite of that. When the rich young ruler came and spoke to him in Luke chapter 18, he came and he called him good, and he went up to Jesus and he said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus stopped him and said, listen, no one is good but God. No one is good. No one is righteous. None of us is such a good person that we can get to heaven based on our goodness. And there is that trap that we see someone and they have a good heart. Who's ever used that phrase of someone? Man, they have a good heart. Man, they are such a good person. You know, goodness will not get us to heaven. And it's one of the battles that we face. Someone only gets to heaven by accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior, by repenting of their sins, and by believing with their heart that they will be saved. There's no other way to get to heaven. Being a good person will not do it. And we face this battle. We see things that we think are good. We feel things that we think are good, like Eve. I don't know about you guys. Does anybody think that verse does it? Don't you wish it said when Eve saw that tree and the apple had worms coming out and it was black and nasty looking, but she had her fallen human nature and she ate the apple anyhow, we would feel better. Because it was just at least the evil was clear. You know what that tells me? What was totally wrong looked perfectly right. What was totally wrong, and think of it, what brought sin into the world and brought death and brought the need for a Savior looked delicious, it looked good, it looked perfect. If we go by how things look and feel, and not by what God has said in His Word, we are going to end up a mess. And so we are in that place. There's a verse in 2 Timothy 2, and it's in the Amplified Bible. I don't know if we have it. It's one of those verses that I think that if we had to vote, we would say it does not belong in the Bible. Paul made a little slip of the tongue. It's the last letter that he wrote, 2 Timothy. He was getting old. If ever there was going to be a chapter in the Bible that had a little something not quite right, it would be 2 Timothy chapter 4, his last chapter. But verse 2 says this in the Amplified Bible. It says, you, as preacher of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong. Who doesn't like that verse? Come on, be honest. No one, come on, come on. No honest, come. We're in church. You as preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. So often, we want to set our own standard of good and our own standard of right when it's only set by God. And so let's go to Isaiah 40. That was a short introduction. But in Isaiah chapter 40, Dan shared from the opening verse last week. And as God is speaking, in verse 2, he says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem, proclaim to her that her hard service, her warfare, has been completed. Her sin has been paid for. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Verse 3 begins, the voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. For every valley will be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. the rough ground become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. I think one thing that is interesting, God says in verse 2 that it's going to be a new day in a person's life, that their hard service, their warfare, the difficult days of their life are going to be over. And sometimes we would like God to just plain old do it. In other words, God says the hard times are over, a new day is coming. But what follows that is a message of preparation in verse 3. In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. See, we want God to come and do something new and fresh. I don't know anyone that isn't looking for some kind of a breakthrough in their life, but they want God to do it without the preparation. And when we look at these verses, the valleys have to be exalted. That's change. The mountains and hills brought down. That's change in our lives and our attitudes. The crooked places made straight. God dealing with things that aren't quite right in the rough places made smooth. It's a message that we need to prepare. Before we had company last weekend, I think it was last weekend, it seems like forever, for John's wedding, Mrs. D was like the Gestapo cleaning our house. Our house did not have a cobweb, a spider, a speck of dirt. The woodwork and molding was painted. The bedroom that no one goes in was totally redone. The house was redone in preparation for company for whatever, 2 days, for the school supply giveaway. We came out Wednesday, we prepared, we laid everything out, the food was ready, people were here early Saturday for 34 minutes of 85 people coming through because it was a mad rush. We prepared for hours and hours and hours. If we say, who wants God to do something new? I hope most of your hands would go up. But the follow-up question is, who's willing to prepare the way for God to do that? Who's willing to allow God to come in and where there's valleys, lift them up? Maybe there's some areas where our standards are too low. And there's 100 interpretations for Isaiah 40. So if you don't like this one, get on the radio after church. But every valley will be exalted. Maybe there's areas you and I have some standards that are too low. I think we're all tested in that area. I got a prescription from Walgreens for my eye drops the other day, and usually I got two little bottles, 2.5 milliliters, if anybody cares, for my glaucoma, and two little bottles was $30. Okay, so I picked up the prescription, got home, opened it, still $30, but only one little bottle. So I called and I said, oh, I think maybe you made a mistake. And they go, no, sir, Mr., I forget how they said it, Deepakwal, you know, some crazy, I don't even know who he was. But they said, no, Mr. Deepakwal, Hap has come out and Hap has said that if you only take them once a day, you get one bottle. What you need to do, now catch this, you need to have your doctor write a script that says you take this twice a day, because then you'll get two bottles. Is our standard so low that we would say, okay, that's a good thing. I'll save $30. All I have to do is ask the doctor to just adjust the script a little bit. I mean, really, if he's willing, that should be fine. How many know those kind of standards don't bring a new thing in God? We can't ask someone to lie for us. We can't ask someone to cut corners. The other day at school, we were setting all the kids up on their iPads. I've told some of you this. And you can have an Apple ID. You have to be 13 to get an Apple ID other than a family plan. And so they asked the question, Mr. D, what do you want to do? This young guy's only 12. And it was almost like a setup. In other words, am I going to have a low standard and say, No one will ever know. Just check the box, 13, it's fine. We can cut corners. And I just said, no, then he can't have one. He can use mom and dad's. We can do whatever. Are there any areas in our lives, Dan talked about tithing, where we are not faithful to God, where our standard is too low, and yet we want to see all the good things of God? You know, God's given us his word to guide us. And it's like a parent. A parent tells a child, don't run across the parking lot. I see it most Sundays. Somebody's parked on the other side, and you see the kids head for there and start to run. And you can go 100 times where running across the parking lot doesn't matter. But how many know that 101st time, and all of a sudden a car is whipping through, and it's not worth it, and someone can get seriously injured? When God tells you and I to do something, even if it doesn't make sense, and it doesn't seem good, and it doesn't fit what we want, God's ways are perfect. God's ways are flawless. If God says, don't do that, then we don't do it because we trust him. If God says, listen, this is what I want out of your life, it may make no sense, but we trust God that obedience to his word is the key. And so Isaiah comes along and he says, listen, I want to prepare the way. I want to do something new in your life, but the status quo of partial obedience, of thinking what seems good to you is good enough for me, those days have to be over. And so he says, prepare the way. Every valley has to be lifted up. You know, we've got to be men and women who walk in integrity. And that means, I like what some of the people have said, but it's doing the right thing when no one will ever know, when it's purely between you and God. No one will ever see, hear about it, anything. Integrity is we still do the right thing. David in Psalm 19 in verse 14, he so had a heart for God that he said this. He said, Lord, let the words of my mouth, that makes sense. We want to speak what's right. We want to use words that build others up. But he said this, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. In other words, my thoughts. Let my thoughts be acceptable to you, God. See, David set a standard for his life that God could call him a man after his own heart, and God can bless him. You know, it's great that we don't say stuff, but how often, and I'm sure it's no one here, I know it's probably a church down the road, how often do you think something that's not so hot, and you're so happy that it doesn't make it out of your lips? In other words, what a successful day. I thought that terrible thought. I wish that they would get run over by a truck because I was so mad, but I never said it. Praise the Lord. Oh, God's moving in my life. David did not say that. David said, let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to your sight. You know, if we are going to see God bless, and Isaiah 40 ends, and it says, when it gets done saying the crooked place is straight, the rough place is smooth, it ends with that the glory of the Lord would be revealed. And I don't know about you, but I want to see God's glory revealed in each of our lives. That God's will is done, that our lives reflect what God desires. But it's make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. It's our lives lining up with God's word. It's no cutting corners. I could have cut a corner with Walgreens. Wouldn't have been that hard. I know my beloved Jewish doctor would gladly have written me a script for twice a day because $30 is a lot to save. He would have given it to me in a heartbeat. The Apple rep did not care if I let 12-year-old sign up. He was there. His name was Will Cornwell. He did not care. He said, it's okay with me. We cannot cut corners. You know, any areas you're cutting corners, going in late at work, taking supplies that don't belong. No one's looking, doing things. Luke 16 and verse 10. Luke 16 and verse 10. It says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. It's amazing that those are words in red. In other words, the littlest things matter. If we'll steal 25 cents in the drive-thru, we'll steal whatever it needs to be. If we'll cheat God in tithing and giving, we'll steal from other people. And there's no thinking that we can do one and not the other. Look what Jesus said again. Whoever can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with very much. You know, God speaks so often about little things in our lives. And I like what one person said. We never want to silence God's voice by ignoring him. Because every time you ignore him, his voice gets a little softer and a little softer and a little softer. You know, this is not to my credit, but in honesty, Mrs. D will tell you, she will say Joe 20 times and somehow miraculously I will not hear her. And she'll say Mr. D and I'll go, what? You know, I don't know how it happens. Anybody other than me, come on, some help today. Thank you. One, two, three. Thank you. Jason barely got that hand up above the belt, but it counts. You know, we silence voices. God sort of whispers and says, hey, that's not what I told you. And we don't think it's a big deal because Genesis 3:6, it looks good, seems to be okay. And little by little, we justify things. I was thinking of some of the miracles that we study week after week. In John 5, there was the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. In Mark 2, there was the man paralyzed, carried by four of his friends. They let him down through the roof. In Luke 13, a woman who was crippled for 18 years. And on and on. And, you know, sometimes we read those stories and they were naturally crippled. And we think, you know, that's a nice story. It applies to him. There's something we can learn. But I found myself this week asking the question, what's crippling us? And I'm not talking about the way we walk. I'm not talking about physical crippling. What's crippling us from being all God wants us to be? What's crippling us from the life of joy and victory and making a difference in other lives and seeing breakthrough in our families? Lord, what's crippling me? What's causing blindness in me? It's one thing to preach about blind Bartimaeus cried out to the Lord and Jesus heard and said, what do you want? And I want to see. And he healed his blindness. But what is there about God that we're not seeing? There was a meteor shower in the last week, I think last week sometime, Perseids, or I'm not sure I'm saying it right. It was supposed to be this incredible display in the sky of meteors. I didn't see a single one of them. I didn't step outside at 3 in the morning. I didn't get up early. There are things going on that you and I do not see in God. Eve wasn't able to see that the tree looking good and being delicious was deception. She needed to obey God. What's crippling us? What's causing blindness in our lives? We need to get to that place. And as God says, I want the valleys to be lifted up. You know, sometimes we wait for consequences rather than conviction. Sometimes as soon as there's a consequence, we get all gung-ho on God. You know, we have a problem that comes or we get in trouble. But responding to conviction is hearing what God's saying and making a covenant and saying, Lord, I'm going to change. One person said, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is protection over our lives. If God convicts something going on where something seemed good to you and you knew it wasn't what God's word said, but it seemed good, it seemed right, you know, say no to seemed right and say yes to God this morning. Say no to something that looks good and feels good, but the end is death. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is protection over our lives. Isaiah 40 in verse 4, it says, every valley will be raised up. Every mountain and hill will be made low. Sometimes we can have an issue with pride. We can have an issue with unforgiveness. We've talked about that recently. We can have a problem where we are not a thankful person. And we get into this mode of we deserve certain things and we're entitled to certain things. And Isaiah declared and he said, listen, if you want to see God's glory in your life, if you want to see your warfare ended, the hard service over, and finally a breakthrough, the valleys have to be lifted up. The mountains and hills have to come down. Sometimes there are obstacles in our way that we have to pray through, and we have to be men and women of prayer where we pray and we do not give up and we go after God. We add fasting to the routine. If we leave mountains and hills in our lives, we'll never see the glory of God. We're kidding ourselves if we think it's okay because there are areas. Jesus said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. There are obstacles and things to be brought down in all of our lives. Areas where we think we've got it all together. I want to read Jeremiah 17 again. Jeremiah 17 in verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Sometimes we kid ourselves into thinking we have it figured out. Isaiah says, the rough ground will become level, the crooked made straight. Any areas where we're being deceptive will come to the light. It's interesting to watch the political process in America. As part of cleaning up my office in the last month, I've been going through my old notebooks of messages from 10 years ago, old, one by one, seeing what needs to be saved and what is, ooh, I preached that? Ooh, gee, I'm glad I've grown up. But anyhow, I came across this weekend the message that I preached or the Sunday when I encouraged, God bless you, said, when I encouraged everyone, it was October 2008, before two presidential elections ago. It was the election that President Obama was elected, and I looked at my notes, and it was just uncanny how God sometimes gives us warnings, and sometimes we don't always listen to them. The rough ground shall become level. I'll leave it at that. The rough places become plain. You know, we can fall into a very uneven Christian life. Up one day and down the next. Serving God on Sundays, doing our own thing the rest of the week. That's something that if we want to see God's glory, has to change in each one of us. There's a fruit of preparation, and that's God's glory being revealed. See, change is not impossible, but change comes with a price set by God. Change is very real. Change is something we can all experience. Jacob experienced it, but he had to wrestle with God for a whole night. And Jacob had to come to the place where he began to see in his family what was in his own life. You know, I think every parent here will admit we love seeing the good things in our children that are from us, and we are so ridiculously proud, but we also see the not-so-good things. And we see the things that we know they got from us, and we just, it's like, I didn't see that. Go away, go away. But they're both true. You know, and at some point, we have got to allow God to come in and change our lives. Every crooked thing has to go. Every place where we cut corners. Psalm 85 in verse 13, it says, righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. And so our lives, we've got to be in that place where we're examining them and reading God's word. Dan mentioned the community Bible experience. We're going to be handing out Bibles. We haven't finalized how much, but we may just be reading one chapter a day, every day together. And the whole church, if you want a Bible, we've got 50 of them in my office. We're just going to read the word and ask God to speak to us. And it doesn't have to be some overwhelming amount, but the key is that God has a chance to speak and reveal things that he wants to speak. Isaiah 1 in verse 16, it says, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Those are verses written to believers. Those aren't verses written to heathens getting ready to be struck by lightning. People that the earth is getting ready to open up and swallow. Verses spoken to God's people when God is looking to do something new and fresh. Acts 22 in verse 16, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7 in verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. I think this is just an amazing verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Little things and big things. Little areas where we compromise, big things that are hidden in our lives. James 4:8, purify your hearts. If we want to see God move, and we're going to pray in just a bit, if we want to see God move afresh and fight our enemies and give us victories over the mountains and things we're battling, we've got to address some areas in each of our lives that need to go. Ezekiel 18:31. Andrew, would you do honors this morning, please? Ezekiel 18 and verse 31. Dan, you may have to get it on back there. I'm not sure. Ezekiel 18 and verse 31, it says, rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Can we bow our heads? I want to summarize this and I want to pray. I am so thankful that God wants to do something new and fresh in your life and in my life, in your family and in my family. I am thankful that God does not leave us the way we are. And Isaiah 40 is the dawning of a new day. Isaiah 1, chapters 1 to 39 represent the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Old Law. And 40 to the end of Isaiah represent from the time of John the Baptist on. And God's saying, it's a new day that I want to bring to your life. New areas where I want to use you, new areas of breakthrough, new areas where I want to release hope and release miracles and release my power. But then he stops and he says, will you prepare for it? Will you allow me to come in and speak to you? And even as Paul wrote to Timothy, to show you areas where you're wrong. I'm sure there's some for me. I know God's already started, but I'm sure there's some for each of us. That if we will allow God to come in and speak by His Holy Spirit, that He will show us areas where our attitude is wrong, areas where our actions are wrong, areas where we are taking shortcuts, and we are lowering our standards to get what we want, and the result is that we stand in the way of our own breakthrough. You've heard it said, our own worst enemy is usually us. It's not the devil. Our own worst enemy is us. The compromises, doing what seems to be right when God's word says something so different. And I am thankful, every head bowed for 1 second. I am thankful that when God speaks, your warfare is ended. Your hard service is over. That it's like God just holding out blessing and saying, listen, I know it's been tough, but I want that to come to an end. I want there to be a new day in your life. And not only does God tell us that He wants there to be a new life, but then He shows us how to bring it about by straightening out some things that are crooked, some priorities that are out of whack, some areas where we've decided what's good and right for us rather than allow God to rule and reign by His Holy Spirit. And He said, listen, there's some valleys that need to be lifted up. There can be character issues that we compromise in. There can be standards that are just too low for where we go and what we do and what's allowed in our lives and families. Then He says every mountain and hill has to be brought down. There are obstacles in each of our lives to God's glory and His perfect will and His plan. Will we allow Him to speak to them? And will we change? I know change is hard, but at the end of change is the blessing of the Lord. Will you stand, please? Hallelujah, Lord. Every eye closed. I want to read Isaiah 40. Every eye closed. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 1 says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to my people. Proclaim to them that their hard service, their warfare has been completed, and their sin has been paid for. And then he goes and he says, the voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground became level and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed in your life, says God. Father, I thank you for the grace that you give for each one of us, oh God, to have the eyes of our understanding open. And I pray that first scripture we read, that Eve saw something that looked good and it brought death to mankind. Lord, will you deliver us from looking with our natural eyes? Lot looked with his natural eyes. Sodom and Gomorrah looked like the perfect place to settle his family, and the result was a ruined family because he looked with his eyes rather than allowing you to choose. He saw something that looked good to him, but it brought death, no different than Eve. Father, will you deliver each one of us here from doing what seems to be right? Will you help us, oh God? Give us a right standard for holy living. I pray for each one, Lord. Anyone who has a problem with smoking, with drinking, with swearing, with drugs, with pornography, any area in their life, oh God, I pray you will minister, oh God, that you will rid them of that evil, oh God, and that you will perfect holiness in the lives of your people in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, I pray we will prepare our hearts so that we will no longer complain about unanswered prayer. We'll no longer say we're waiting for you when you, oh God, are waiting for us to prepare the way for the new thing that you want to do. Lord, we thank you today, and we just take this opportunity. If you just want to, with every head bowed and eye closed, if you want to just lift a hand to heaven and say, Lord, I want to prepare, and I know it means change. I want you to lift a hand with me, my hand's up. Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus, help us to respond to conviction and not consequences, oh God. Help us to yield to you when you speak to us, oh God, to have ears that hear and a heart that's open, oh God. Father, deal with the little things in our lives, the little shortcuts, the little lowered standards, the little foxes that we've allowed in, oh God, and let us set a standard of righteousness that will release your blessing in our lives, oh God. Lord, I thank you for today, oh God. I thank you for the miracles that you are preparing us for, oh God, for the breakthroughs that you are longing to do, oh God. And I pray we will be open to moving from good to God, to moving from our own standards to yours, oh God. And do that, Lord, in each of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray you'll bless our fellowship, that our conversation would be edifying to you. We thank you for all you have said and done today, oh God. Pray you'll bless the food that many have prepared, Lord. We thank you for grace that people will need this week, oh God. We thank you for the choices on Monday, oh God, to have valleys lifted up and mountains brought down. We thank you for the Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Help us not to forget, oh God. Let us have an eye to the vision of what you want to do in our lives and our families and in our church, oh God. We thank you today, God. We praise you this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Everyone said amen. Hallelujah.